Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and this is a October weekend blitz on Hard Hits, a live 30-minute edition. Hope everybody out there is safe, especially down in Florida and down in the South, whether it's Georgia or wherever you are. One of our co-hosts, Colin Cannoni, lives down in Georgia. Have not heard from him today, so we hope that he's doing okay. And certainly all the best to people in Florida and Haiti, and hope everybody's safe. That's how I will start the show. Now to the business and the sports side of things. Sports, of course, is just a great distraction for all of us at this time. I want to start off with the big football game that was tonight, game I was really looking forward to. There just haven't been a lot of games to look forward to, you know, for myself being a Hurricanes fan, and for you fans over the last, God knows how many years, 5-6 years. I mean, it's been a while since the Hurricanes played a really big game. And, you know, I remember what I said. I said that I went into this game with a grain of salt, knowing that the first four games meant nothing because they were all just cupcakes, opponents that they were going to beat, especially with Mark Richt as coach. And look, I think he'll do a really good job and turn the program around, but dose of reality tonight, a game they should have won, but they didn't. Bottom line is they didn't. They lost to Florida State 2019. A game that they led 13-0 and seemed to have everything going their way until Florida State had that little two-minute drill and got that field goal before the half. And before you knew it, when things were looking really good, up 13-3, and Brad Kaya, you just can't. You can't, after Florida State basically gifts you 15-yard penalty, with their running the ball, and they're looking to go in for a score there. On a third and goal, you cannot force a ball in. You can't force a ball into the end zone where the coverage is excellent, and you can't get picked off there. You just can't. That was the turning point in the game. And then the next thing you know, as I'm flipping between that and the baseball game, which the Cubs took care of the Giants again 5-2, so they're looking pretty mighty tough, and they should be mighty tough to beat, even with Hendricks having to come out. At least the injury is not that serious, so that's good news for the Cubs. But when you have Travis Wood hitting a home run like way deep or whatever, and BPJ, as JPG calls him, and he got absolutely trashed and was out after two innings, it is what it is. And the Cubs look like they're going to be very tough to the game. And already Florida State's got a touchdown, 13-10. And right there, I just knew. Like, that interception is going to come back to burn them. And sure enough, it changed the whole game. Florida State's defense played better in the second half. What did they do different? Well, they got pressure on the quarterback. And they didn't have to sack him. Although there was one series, disastrous series, where he got sacked twice in a row. And they had to punt the ball away when they really needed to do something there. But he's just not a good quarterback. It's just another overrated quarterback. And this was a very disappointing loss. I'm extremely annoyed with them, to be honest, losing this game the way they lost it. Team, I mean, it has to be Florida State. Now, seven straight years that they've lost in the series. So how is it a rivalry when you can't beat your main rival? How's it a rivalry? You were supposed to beat them this time. They lost two games in a row. Their defense had sucked, and you can't put up more than 19 points. And how do you get to the 19? They get the ball back. It gets down to fourth and goal. They obviously were afraid to let the quarterback make a play. They ran the first three plays, and then it comes down to fourth and goal, and he made a good throw. He makes a good throw, and a great catch there made in the end zone, and it's 2019, and you're just thinking, still got to make the extra point. You still got to make the extra point. They can't make the extra point because it got blocked, and it's just a disaster. It's awful. It's just awful to lose the way they lost. I understand. Look, they're not all, you know, I got Rob telling me, well, they're not winning anything this year. And well, okay. Well, you know what? Just shut the hell up. Shut up. Really? Like, who the hell, like, who cares? Why? Because you root for Alabama and your friggin' coach basically pays everybody? Friggin', everybody knows Nick Saban's a cheat and a fraud. Really? Can't stand that guy. He's, God, it's worse than Jimbo Fisher. Really, it really is. Culley made a great catch, though. He had both touchdown and both touchdown catches that he made were terrific. The first one was overturned, and they were both great throws by Kai. Unfortunately, Kai had to throw that one awful pass. That was an easy interception. Just an easy interception. But Safety Culley definitely looks like a player. So, all right, so there's a plus. All right, our quarterback is completely overrated and soft. When you look at what the Florida State quarterback did, he was hit. He was knocked down, was Francois. But you know what? He kept coming, kept back from injuries, battled, played gritty, and 234 yards, two touchdowns. And how about that? How about that second down call after the block kick? Look, Miami's got all three timeouts. All they got to do is get a stop. So they stacked the block. They stacked the deck against Dalvin Cook, who, of course, Dalvin Cook had a really good game. He always kills the Hurricanes. Dalvin Cook is could be a tremendous pro. 150 yards for 27 carries, 154 yard long. And I thought for the most part they did an okay job against him. He didn't score any touchdowns. But Francois is a mobile quarterback. And the one thing I was worried about on second down when they kicked off with the ball inside, you know, the 15, I was wondering if they would run Francois, and sure enough, Jimbo Fisher made the gutsy call. And I knew, I had a feeling they were going to do that because they knew they needed one first down. And what do? They use his mobility. They do a bootleg to the left, and there was nobody there. And then he gets the first down, stays in bounds. So a great play by a grittier quarterback that's obviously tougher. And then Dalvin Cook's explosive run for another first down finished it for good. And Florida State once again finds a way to beat Miami. And guess what? The Hurricanes are now 0-3 against Florida State. So they may as well just rename the stadium. Rename it Home of the Seminoles because, well, let's face it, they kick the crap out of us. They own us. And it's just a complete joke. So I'm pretty put off right now. I thought the defense did a pretty solid job too. That's the sad part. The defense certainly gave them, you know, chances. The offense did not take advantage. They had opportunities, and Brad Kaya is just not that good. He's just another overrated quarterback. Yeah, sure enough, I'll give him credit. He made two real excellent throws to Culley, but he's just another overrated quarterback, and they can't get it done. And the defense did not get the stop they needed to. And yeah, I've been a fan of this team, of this school for 31 years now, and I'm tired of losing to Florida State. I'm so tired of losing tonight. And I don't have anything else to say. If they lose to Notre Dame, that would be the icing on the cake. Because Notre Dame like has four losses. You're gonna lose to them too? What are they gonna lose to them too? Yeah, you know, if they had any freaking decency and guts, they'll beat Notre Dame. Like everybody else beats Notre Dame. NC State 10-3 in a mud bowl basically today because of all of the effect of the hurricane. Beat Notre Dame at least, and you know, finish strong and show that you could at least have a real good season. Win 9 games. Can you win 9 games? Can you go 9-3? And how about winning a bowl game for crying out loud? It's another thing that they haven't done. When's the last time they won a bowl game? Like, Jesus Christ. I wasn't even working at my job. 4-6-7-5-8-2-2-6, 19 minutes to play with. Now we're going to get to the other stuff. You know, the crowning has begun with the Chicago Cubs. And, yeah, well, let's just crown their asses. Why the fuck not? He is from Las Vegas now for a week. He does have a P.O. box number, finally. It's not C4. I wish it was. What should be C4? Cubs 4. Cubs and 4, maybe. I don't know. But, like, he is John Giadorio, and we really hope that Colin Kennedy is okay. So, well, let's bring him in. I know he's chopping at the bit for this show, and you can tell that I'm pretty angry and fired up. John Giadorio is with us. Hi, John.
So, wait. At first, you didn't want to give the Cubs any credit, and you wanted to pretend like the Giants' imaginary experience was going to carry the day. And now that they're up 2-0, you're going to complain that people are crowning them?
Oh, just shut up already, really. I mean, I told you before the series that they were a much better team. Everybody knows they're a much better team than the Giants. I mean, really. I mean, you want to make it sound like the Cubs are some underdog. You know what? They're not an underdog, all right? And if you don't make the World Series, you know what? I don't want to hear from you or any Cubs fan again. All right? Make a friggin' World Series.
You know what I don't want to hear? Excuses for a team that spent huge amounts of money on many free agents.
They did.
Couldn't even win
you know
their
what?
Own. Couldn't even
and
win
I'm not
their
making
own
excuses. I'm not making excuses for them. You know what? They sucked in the second half. And you're right about Samardzija. He sucks. All right? I wouldn't have pitched him. I would have got him the hell out of there as soon as he got in trouble in the second inning and put in Moore or put in whoever. Anybody else would have been better. But you know, just the best. What was that decision based on anyway? The fact that he had the contract or because he pitched in Wrigley before? I just didn't think it was a good recipe for them to have him pitch the second game. I think I would have thrown the lefty. And yeah, I know you guys have great right-handed bats, but I would have thrown the lefty in that situation. Because the lefty showed much, he was better down the stretch. I think he deserved to pitch the game. I don't think it matters anyway. My dad basically said he thinks they're going to get swept now, and if they get swept, they get swept. And well,
the pressure is on. The pressure not.
Well,
to get
just
swept.
And I'll say it to you like this. I'll put it to you like this. You know, when they beat the Mets the way they beat the Mets with Bumgarner. My father said it. He's the big Giants fan. He goes back to the days of Willie Mays and Marichal, back to the Polo Grounds. He said it. Bleepin' house money. And that's what they were playing with, house money. Because they're going up against the best team. Team that won 103 games. So he said that he didn't care if they won another game. And I think for him, just knocking out the Mets, that really made his season. He does not like the Mets. He hates the Mets. All right. He hates the Mets more than you, believe it or not. So that really made it for him to knock the Mets out. And that's up to him. You know, hey, Bumgarner probably hit the hardest ball for the Giants in the game. That's the funny part. Even though they did, at least they did get a couple of runs across, but Bumgarner's ball overpowered Chris Bryant.
Oh my God. This overpowered crap. Give me a
He
break,
was overpowered.
Dude. Oh, overpowered. Give me your, Even in losing, you can't just be gracious and accept it.
First off, it's not my team.
It is kind
second,
of your team. You crowed on this very show about how the pressure was on the Cubs and the Giants have all this experience. No, it wasn't. There was never any pressure on the Cubs. The Giants are a joke.
How could you say that?
They spent way too much money on free agents. They tried to buy the division. It didn't work.
Wait a second.
Did the Cubs not buy John Lester?
Did they not buy John Lester? I'm confused here.
I'm not the one saying that the pressure's all on somebody and underdog.
The Cubs are the overwhelming favorite. So when there's no score, you haven't touched Cueto, until, I mean, where you feel a little bit of pressure in yourself.
The best strike zone money can buy. It was the best strike.
They
got to
get this run across. It's a good thing that Baez hit that home run, because who knows? Who knows what could have happened in that game?
It was the best strike zone money could buy.
You know what? That strike zone was the same for both pitchers. I don't want to hear it from you. This is something that you do. You always go after the strike zone when things don't go your way. You know what? Be fair, all right? Be fair,
and
man.
Okay, fine. I'll be fair. You be fair, too. Be fair. You act like the San Francisco Giants are some little small-market underdog team. They aren't.
Well, I never said they were a small-market
underdog
team.
You act like they are. You do. You always say
the
Yankees are more like
have
San Francisco.
How have I acted like they're an underdog? Well, they were an underdog in the series. They don't boast the lineup that the Cubs have. I mean,
well, not for lack of spending.
All right, how much money does Joe Paddock make?
I have no idea. Probably similar to what Javier Baez makes.
$545,000. Okay, so he makes hardly anything.
That makes them a small market team.
All right, Brandon Belt gets paid a nice salary. Is Brandon Belt a Giant? Has he been a Giant since the beginning of time?
So you're naming two guys. What about, let's see, Hunter Pence?
What about Brandon Crawford? What about Crawford and Posey? So wait. Posey, Belt, Panic, Crawford are all guys that are homegrown.
You could say that about any team in the league. You act like the San Francisco Giants are some unique little snowflake.
How did the Cubs get Addison Russell again?
They traded for him.
Who'd they trade, ironically enough?
I know who they traded. The point is, the San Francisco Giants. The San Francisco Giants are not some delightful little small market team, okay?
You're a delightful small market.
You act like they're these small market underdogs, but nothing could be further from the truth.
They have a lot of guys that are overpaid, all right, that aren't what I call superstars. Although I thought that the Darts bad signing was a decent signing because he's a pretty solid player. But that said, I don't think I would have given him an option for a fourth year. I mean, he's a good, solid outfielder, but if the guy stays on the field, he's a pretty solid player. But I don't know if I would have given him it's 3 years guaranteed. It's three years for $31 million for team option. It's a team option. So that's an okay contract. Pagan, that was always going to be a bad contract because he can't stay on the field. He got 4 years and $40 million, and his contract runs out, actually. And he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. Is he a good, effective player? But is he worth his money? No. I would say no. BPJ, that was a bad move. Pence is an excellent player, but he also has issues staying on the field, has injury problems, also has a hole in his swing, and should have made a catch on that line drive. It would have been a sack fly anyway, but I don't think I would have. He re-signed him. He signed through 2018, so and he makes what? Makes between 15 and 20. That's a lot. It's a lot for a guy that, you know, is injury prone. And
yeah, I mean, and who cares at the end of the day? But they're not some small market darling. The truth is, they're kind of like Yankees West Coast in a lot of ways.
What's their payroll? What is their total payroll? Is there a way, can I pull up the payroll? I'm sure their payroll is about 130 or 140, maybe 150. I'm sure it's in the upper echelon. But I don't like getting into payroll because I know nowadays anything could happen. I mean, yeah, you want to spend money, you know, on good players to help you get in the playoffs. I think Johnny Cueto.
$481 million.
Johnny Cueto, was Johnny Cueto worth the money this year? He had a pretty good year. You think he helped them get in the playoffs? He pitched a pretty damn good game one. Gets you.
Yeah, he did help them get in the playoffs. But you act like they're so different from all these other teams, and they're really not.
Here's my question.
The team would not exist without free agency.
Here's my question for Brian Sabian. How do you have a $181 million payroll and you don't have a bullpen? You don't have a bullpen at all. I don't understand. They don't have a bullpen. And I would have pitched Matt Moore. Matt Moore is a better pitcher than Samardzija. And he's got signed through 16 with 17 to 19 team options. I don't know what the hell that means. I see. Okay, so he'll be with the Giants probably, and pretty affordable contract. I think if you trade for a guy like that, I think they should have probably pitched him because Samardzija in that against at Wrigley Field in that ballpark. It's not a good matchup. I don't care if he's got experience. I think I would have gone with the young in that kind of game, but they didn't. And look, the Cubs are a much better team. Okay, we've never said otherwise. And what I say, I said Cubs in four. Did I not? So I gave the Giants.
You did,
one game.
But you also said a lot of nonsense about pressure and stuff.
Well, there is pressure. There is pressure on the Cubs here. I mean,
well, there should
yeah,
be
I mean,
pressure on the Giants for all the fucking money they've spent.
They had 16 less wins. They were lucky to make the playoffs. I just don't see how they have pressure. You want to say they have pressure now to try to win the next two games? Yeah, there's pressure. But
this team is like they're not getting. It's not like they're some young up and coming team. This is kind of it. So there is pressure. Like,
they do need to make
team.
Changes. Yeah, they do need to make changes. We agree on that. I mean, I guess it's more sobering to discuss this than discuss the Hurricanes and just how disgusting to lose on a blocked PAT against Florida State.
I don't know.
That was pretty awful. You know what? Maybe they should have pitched Ty Blatch, who shut down the Dodgers for 8 innings. Maybe that would have been a better way to go. You know, a guy that only had one start, you know, two starts. Maybe you pitch a no name. A guy that the Cubs haven't seen before. That might have been a better way to go. Or you just say, you know what? Kid, get us out of the jam and see if you keep us in the game. That might have been a good move. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you gotta make the move. You gotta make a move that's not the most popular, that's a little off the radar, that works, you know? It's something that Bolsey has done before. He did not make the off-the-radar move. Yes, he took Samardzija out, and his bullpen did a pretty solid job. What did they give up? One run? They gave up one run the rest of the game, right? That's not
too
bad.
They did to the pitcher.
Hey, I mean, you know, Travis Wood has 10 career home runs. I didn't even know that. I knew he was a good-hitting pitcher, but, hey, he got all of that pitch against Contos. my boy Contos, a guy I covered here in Staten Island when he was actually a Yankees draft pick. But he certainly didn't miss that pitch. Some pitchers can hit. That's true. It is true that some pitchers can hit. I'm looking at the statistics from this Miami game. Cook by himself ran for 150 yards, and it didn't even seem like he dominated the game, with the exception of one big run. Miami as a team, they had a total of, 68 yards between Walton and Yerby. And Walton looked like the better runner. Yerby had a long. And Kaya was 3 rushes for minus 14. So 54 rushing yards compared to 150, compared to basically 200 for the Florida State Seminoles. You have to have better balance than that. And they tried to run the ball a little more in the second half of Kaya struggling with that INT. But you have to have a little better balance than that. Especially if you're going to be Florida State, even if it wasn't a great Florida State team. But you know what? They're still Florida State, and they've come back in games. Well, they came back in their other two games that they won this year, in their other 3 or 4 games they won. And it's a rivalry. So they were ready to play. You knew they'd be ready to play. I just think that when the quarterback finally makes a good throw, Holy makes the catch, and you get the PAT blocked. Graceful. That's disgraceful. They didn't onside it. I wouldn't have onside it either. You got 3 timeouts. They kicked it off. They had them inside the 15, and Florida State made a really smart call, a call that I saw coming. They ran, instead of running Cook, because they were all playing for Cook, they had their gutsy quarterback Francois do like a bootleg to the left. He actually is pretty solid. Got like pretty mobile, and he ran for a first down, and that was really the end of the game. So, I was going to talk about Rutgers, JPG. Are you a fan of Rutgers football?
I'm not.
Do you know what score they lost by tonight to Michigan? You have
no.
Any idea? Would you like to guess how many points they gave up at home to Michigan?
1 million?
Close. All right. I'm going to give you some choices here. The number's between 1 and 100. Pick a number between 1 and 100 and see if you can guess how many points Michigan scored. They're undefeated, by the way.
95.
A little bit lower than that, but an interesting guess, nonetheless.
87.
If you reverse 87, you got the correct score.
Holy crap, that's a lot.
They scored 78 points. Would you like to guess how many first downs Rutgers had in this game? Pick a number between 1 and you're on the right track.
4.
Less.
Wow. 3?
Yes. The Rutgers
Scarlet Knights,
a proud football, a proud school with football tradition, where football started, had 2 total first downs, both in garbage time in the fourth quarter.
Holy crap.
And I put on, right? The WFAN ran the game. They ran the Rutgers game because Chris Carlin used to be an FAN, host or whatever. They ran the game. And him and his color guy are talking about, well, they finally hired a good coach, and the Rutgers could be relevant again. They could become a great program again. I heard this on the post game while I was making eggs, and I almost fell down. How are they going to be relevant? This, by the way, we're about to, we're basically approaching overtime. The stat line, okay? This is the stat line for the quarterbacks in this game, okay? Chris Laviano was 1 for 8 with 6 yards for a quarterback rating of 18.8. Zach Allen was 1 for 10 for -1 yard That means the two quarterbacks combined for 5 yards and 2 completions in 18 attempts and were sacked 4 times. JPG, is that good?
It's not good.
You want to hear something even sadder? Michigan only threw the ball. Michigan threw the ball 16 times. So they threw the ball less times, right? But they completed half of them. Wilton Spite completed 6 of 13 for 100 yards and a touchdown. And John O'Korn, I never heard of him, was 2 for 2 with a touchdown and a 344.8 rating. Just to give you an idea, you got it. Oh, it gets better, by the way. The rushing yards in this game. Rutgers, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, Trace Knee, 27 yards on 8 carries. Robert Barton, 23 yards on 11 carries. Justin Goodwin, 3 rushes for 7 yards. Zach Allen, 11 for negative 7. And that included an 8 long, by the way. Chris Laviano, 1 for negative 8, a sack. Jawan Harris, 2 for negative 8. So, we total it up here. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights had a grand total of... I'm trying to be nice here when I say this. 34 yards. So the Rutgers Scarlet Knights had 34 rushing yards, okay? And they had 5 yards passing. That means that the Rutgers Scarlet Knights had a total of 39 yards on the night. Okay? Now, the Michigan Wolverines, right? Coached by another fraud, Jim Harbaugh. 153 yards on 11 carries for Chris Evans, including 57-yard long. Karen Higdon had 114 yards on 13 carries and 2 scores. Ty Isaac had 93 yards on 12 carries and 2 scores. Jarrell Peppers, no relation to Julius Peppers, 74 yards on 3 carries and 2 scores. Bobby Henson, 3 carries for 26 yards and a score. So they had, and Khalid Hill, right? Khalid Hill had two rushes for 2 yards. Both touchdowns. So basically 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. That's most of their scores, JPJ. 9 touchdowns. And I'm going to just do this really quickly. 253 carried at 14 with that 267. 360. That's what, 234. 260, 271, 277, 281. Well, how many yards did they have? Oh my God. You know, this is really amazing, JPG. Like, I'm like looking, I can't believe how many rushing yards they had as a team. I'm actually going to get the calculator out because this is just too much. I think they had over 400 yards off the ground, actually. Let's see. There, let's just punch this in on my iPhone. JPG, do you like competitive football games or non-competitive?
I gotta be honest, Derek. I don't really care.
You love college football, though. I know you do.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I do.
If I told you that Michigan had, like, basically rushing yards to the ground, what would you say to that against Rutgers?
Yippee skippy.
Where did that come from again?
I have no idea. I just made it up one day, and you loved it. Just like you loved it when I invented D-Flex, even though you tried to credit someone in the basement for coming up with it.
All right, so 486 rushing yards for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights give it up against the Michigan Wolverines, who are very much a factor in the national championship picture, even though Rob Davis doesn't want to admit it, that Michigan could be a factor. The only difference is that Michigan plays in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten includes number 2 rated Ohio State. So whoever wins the Ohio State-Michigan showdown, they could be playing for the title. But Big Ten always plays in the Rose Bowl. Right now, you have some other undefeated teams like Clemson. although I don't know, I'm not sold on them completely. I thought Louisville was better than them, but they were able to beat them. You have Houston drop for the ranks of the unbeaten. They lost to Navy. Oh, brother. I mean, actually, Navy's supposed to be good, but still. I don't know how you could lose to Navy if you're expected to be a competitor for it. But, okay. I actually think the Big Ten's pretty strong this year. They've got a case this year. Texas A&M, by the way, went to 6-0. Did you hear about that game?
That was a barn burner.
Texas A&M led Tennessee by 21 points. Point leave with like 4 minutes left. Tennessee scored a touchdown. Tennessee then got the ball back. Then Tennessee, they gave up a first down to the running back, right, for A&M. He, instead of going down, he tried to get the touchdown, right? So one of the Tennessee players, he chased him all the way from behind, right? And he stripped him, knocked the ball out before he got to the end zone, and it turned into a touchback. And Tennessee friggin' scored and tied the game up and forced overtime. It went two overtimes. A&M was able to score a touchdown, and the Tennessee quarterback threw an interception. And the Aggies won the game 45-38. Great game. Great game. Josh Dobbs threw two INTs in this game. So, college football, man. College football is excellent. Excellent, JPG. So, JPG, are you already looking forward to the next series? That you're probably going to be in the next series.
I am already looking forward to the next series.
Just remember, you got to win game three first. So, should be a good matchup. Should be a real good matchup. You got Bumgarner going up against Arrieta. You know, battle of two excellent pitchers. Good battle right there. All right, so you also have, because of the rain, basically helped the Washington Nationals because the game got postponed. And if they do play tomorrow, it's a 1 o'clock game, the same time as football. Honestly, I don't even care about football right now, the way things are going. But what I can tell you, JPJ, is that the Nationals now get to pitch Tanner Roark, move Tanner Roark up to game two, and I think that could help them. So it'll be Tanner Roark instead of Gio Gonzalez, and he will go up against Richard Hill. So that is a matchup for tomorrow. I actually think the rainout could help the Nats because Roark's a better pitcher than Gio. So Hendricks' injury is not that bad, so that's good. That's good for you. Gross. And what is this here? Alex Rodriguez hints at a return during Fox Sports 1 broadcast. Interesting. Well, would you like to see A-Rod come back?
I would. It's time.
What has he got left, though? Does he have anything?
He's got
left?
Everything.
I mean, does he have anything left?
I think he's got enough left to hit some more home runs and win some ball games.
You want to hit those 4 more home runs and get 700?
Yeah.
Pump for that?
Yeah, basically.
There are NFL football games tomorrow. There's only about 5 minutes left anyway in this podcast now. All right. The Sunday night game is going to be a depressing game for me because this weekend's already been bad with the football. The New York Football Giants take on the Green Bay Packers. A game that's winnable, but Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in Green Bay, Odell Beckham, who just completely is in denial. Who are you taking in this game, JPG?
Who's playing?
The Giants are at the Packers on a Sunday night football game tomorrow on NBC.
Unfortunately, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, too. All right. I'm going to skip over games that don't mean anything, like the Patriots and Brady against the Browns. No. We're not going to talk about the Eagles against the Lions. We're not going to talk about that either because Carson Wentz is already a Hall of Fame quarterback now. It should annoy him. Everybody should annoy Carson Wentz. Bears at Colts. Bears at Colts don't really care. They're both bad teams. Tennessee at Miami. No, they both suck. Okay, here's a good game. Houston Texans, but no J.J. Watt. They don't really have a quarterback at the Vikings. I'm going Vikings. I think the Vikings will win this game and probably win it pretty handily. What do you think, sir? Are you going Vikings at home or Houston Texans in an upset?
I'm going with the Vikings and Samuel Bradford.
Okay. All right. The Jets at the Steelers. Steelers in an obvious pick for myself. How about you?
I think Fitzmagic is going to show up and the Jets are going to pull it off.
Okay. Oh, wow. Fitz instead of Fitztragic. Okay. How about the Redskins, who are rejuvenated thanks to the Giants choke, at the Ravens? I don't think the Ravens are
that good.
You're going to go Ravens. I'm going to go Redskins. I don't even think either team's that great, but to be honest. But you go Ravens. I'll go Redskins. How about Falcons? Collins Falcons, 3-1, first place at the Denver Broncos. By the way, the Broncos have to start another quarterback. The Broncos have a better team overall. Something tells me the Falcons are going to win this game. I don't know. I have a feeling about it. So you're going Denver. I'm going Atlanta. Do you care about Cincinnati? Cincinnati's a good team. They're at the Cowboys.
No, I don't care. Do you?
I'm picking the Bengals. I don't think the Cowboys are that great either. I don't want to hear about their quarterback anymore either. The Oakland Raiders against the Chargers. That's a rivalry game, but the Raiders should win that game. Oh, here's a big game. The Bills are streaking right now. They're 2-2. They're going at the LA Rams. This could be a letdown game for the Bills. I can't see the Rams getting 4-1 though. Can you? I'm gonna go Bills. T-Mobile. I'm trusting T-Mobile to get it done. And here's the last one. Do you think the Chicago Bears will beat the Colts in Indianapolis? They're both 1-3.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I think, sadly, I'm going to agree with you. All right.
I think Jason Christopher will be the best quarterback on the field.
Is Jason Christopher even playing?
I have no idea.
That's how, like, far gone you are with football, aren't you?
I don't care. Yeah, true.
I don't know. This show's over already. Do you have any side comments?
Over time. Yeah, I just want to say goodbye to the San Francisco Giants. It'll be a long road back. The Dodgers are going to own that division.
Oh, man. You know, we're going to go back to preview as soon as I get my new car. So once we go back to preview, we could have chaotic shows. And maybe there'll be up retirements. All right?
What's the story with your new car? Get it.
Either going to be another Civic or an Accord. So we'll see. See what happens, probably.
Nice.
See. Yeah.
I like it. I just got the new Civic. So we can